Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am. I really am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Tonight, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Praise the Lord with me, would you? Thank you, Lord. We believe we receive in Jesus' name. Well, open your Bible with me tonight to the New Testament, to the book of James, and we're finishing our series that we've been teaching on the weekends. Last Wednesday night, I talked to you about believing in the Lord, and we thank God for that. If you weren't with us, you might get it free. Go to our website, The Seven Cycles of Faith. Tonight, I want to finish our series on how to be a doer of God's Word, how to be do the work, how to be a doer of God's Word. I want to finish it tonight. You know, I was just talking to someone right before church tonight, and they were telling me of someone they were witnessing to this week. And they said, this person said to them, they work with them, and they said, I used to go to a church. It wasn't our church. This person said, I used to go to a church, but I stopped going to church. They're telling one of our members, I stopped going to church. And she said, well, why did you stop going? And she said, because I got nothing out of church. Got nothing out of church. It didn't help me. Didn't help my life. Well, you know, that's we hear that a lot, don't we? We really do. And you pray for me. You pray for our church. Because I want to make sure every time you come, I give you something. Something that you can see and apply in your life that will make your life stronger immediately. I try so hard to make it simple and applicable so you can get something out of church. That's your pastor's heart, who I love you. I want you to get something out of every time you come. Is that okay? I want it to be something you can apply and live stronger and live better and live the abundant life. Amen. So we've been talking this whole month about being a doer of the Word of God. Let's just make that confession. I am a doer of God's Word. You see, we found out already in James chapter 1. Now, James, the half-brother of Jesus, was pastoring a megachurch at Jerusalem. It ran over 30,000 members. And so it's written to Christians. And so we find out in James chapter 1 that if we're a hearer and not a doer, we won't be blessed as Christians, right? If we just come to church and hear the word, that's not enough for our life to be blessed. If we just come to church and we know the sermon, we've heard the sermon before, that still isn't enough to give us a blessed, abundant life. Right, church? Hearing is not enough. Knowing is not enough. We found out in James chapter 1 that we have to be a doer of God's Word. We can't just be a hearer, because if I'm just a hearer, then I'm not going to get anything out of church. My life won't improve. My life won't get stronger. My life won't get better. I won't possess my possessions. I won't possess what God wants me to have, be, and do if I just go and listen to the Bible, know the Bible, can quote the Bible. That's not enough to change my life. I have to practice it. I have to do it. I have to apply it. I have to be a doer. So let's say it again. I am a doer of God's Word. And I am living the blessed life. Amen. Now you say, Pastor, but tonight my life's not blessed. But you see, that's what faith does. Faith continues to speak God's word when your life contradicts the word. Did you hear what I just said? Faith continues to speak the word even when your experiences contradict the word. Even though, you know, you're speaking the word, you keep speaking it, even though that your life, you're not seeing what the word says you can have, be, and do, you keep speaking the word, and eventually your life will line up with the word. Your experiences will line up with the word. Faith is, when you don't feel like it, you praise God. Faith is, you declare you have more than enough when you don't. Faith responds in a positive manner when you feel like being negative. That's faith. So we found out in James chapter 1 that I can't just be a hearer, because if I do, I'm not going to get anything out of church or serving God. But if I become a doer, then he promises to bless my work. Amen? So then we went to chapter 2, and look with me in chapter 2, I think it's verse 26. Chapter 2 of James, in verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works," now circle that word works, one translation says corresponding actions. Faith, I like to say it that way, faith without corresponding actions is dead. So let's break that down. So then as a Christian, according to this, because it was written to Christians, as a Christian, my faith can be dead. Even though I have faith in God and I'm born again, I'm on my way to heaven, my faith isn't fruitful. My faith is non-productive. My faith is not accessing all that God has for me. Did you understand that statement? It's by faith you access God's grace. That's Romans chapter 5. That's why we have to walk by faith and live by faith. And everything we do, do it in faith. Because through faith is how you access all that God has for you. So notice, you can be a Christian and born again, but your faith non-productive. You don't get any results. Nothing changes. Nothing gets any better. You're just existing. You're just enduring. You're just getting through. Life is miserable, but you're on your way to heaven. You and I know, though, that God wants us to have heaven on earth. Isn't that Bible? The Bible says that God wants you and I to have heaven on earth. In the Old Testament, he told them, as a covenant people, he says, "I want your days on earth to be as your days in heaven." I want you to have heaven on earth. That means God wants us to have an abundant life, a blessed life, an overcoming life, a victorious life. But if I'm not being a practicer and a doer of God's word, then my faith is dead. I've got faith, but it's not active. Does that make sense? This last weekend, I gave you the illustration of my motorcycle. Do y'all remember that if you were with me? My Triumph motorcycle. I said I went out to get on it the other day, and the battery was dead. Yes, it's a motorcycle. Yes, it has get up and go, but the get up and go had gone because the battery was dead. Had a battery, but it was dead. We have faith, but it could be dead faith or alive faith. You and I don't want dead faith. Because that creates a frustrated Christian, an unhappy Christian, a non-productive, non-fruitful Christian, never getting ahead, never moving forward, never going from glory to glory. So we found out then that we want to have corresponding actions to our faith. Amen, church? So then chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Now, when they wrote the Bible, originally it didn't have chapters and verses. Man put that in there. So the context is James chapter 1, I have to be a hearer and a doer, a hearer and a doer. James chapter 2, I don't want dead faith, I want a live faith, so I've got to have faith with a corresponding action. Everyone say that with me, faith with corresponding action. Now, y'all remember I gave you the illustration of the door into the supernatural is called the faith door. Again, you access the abundant life, you access God's grace and favor and blessing with faith. Not feeling, not want, not need, but faith. Need doesn't move God, want doesn't move God, begging doesn't move God, bitterness doesn't move God, blaming God doesn't move God. Faith is what moves God, because he's a faith God. So we access Romans chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 3. We access the abundant life through faith. So Kenneth E. Hagin said, the door into the supernatural is called the faith door. On that door, we said this weekend, there's two hinges. Still with me, church? The two hinges were called believing and confessing. Believing and confessing. Can you? I just love it. Y'all are doing so awesome tonight. Can you say that with me? Believing and confessing. So the door into the abundant life, the door into God's grace, which is everything that He has, every blessing that He has for you, is only going to be accessed through faith. But the two hinges that open that door is called believing and confessing. Believing and speaking. Say it again with me. Believing and confessing. So we found out then in James chapter 3, he talks about the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you'll receive a greater condemnation. In other words, that means if the more you know, the more you are held accountable to. The more you know, the more you are held accountable to. And then he goes on and says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. And the next few verses, he talks about the tongue and the power of the tongue. Like the bit in a horse's mouth and the rudder on a ship, it determines the direction of the horse and the ship. So say this with me. My tongue is the steering wheel of my life. Boy, that's a powerful thought, isn't it? Our tongue is the steering wheel of our life. Our tongue determines, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not white people, not black people, not our parents, not our ancestors, not our neighbors. Our tongue determines the direction of our life. Our tongue is the steering wheel of our life. Isn't that powerful? That's worth coming to church on a Wednesday night. So I guess I can change the direction of my life by changing what I'm saying. I can change. This is good news. Other people don't dominate us. They don't direct our life. If we don't direct our life, they will. Well, why don't we direct our life with the right words and the right confession that lines up with God's word? We put God's word in our mouth and we're speaking God's will. And we're directing, steering our life in the right way. Amen. So he's talking about then, if he talked about faith without corresponding actions, and then the very next chapter, he's talking about the tongue, the first corresponding action proving I'm a doer of the word is my confession. The first act, the first action, the first characteristic, the first virtue, the first step, the first rung on the ladder, if I'm a doer of the word, then I'm going to be practicing by confessing the word out of my mouth. Doesn't the Bible say whatever is in our heart comes out our... Well, if I'm believing, then I should be speaking. So whatever I'm speaking, I'm believing, negative or positive. So it's important that we understand the first corresponding action. So here's what this means. If I think believing is enough, I know lots of Christians I grew up with that they thought this was crazy. They thought this was, you know, Christian science. They thought this was mystic. They thought this was mystical. They thought this was a cult. They thought, you know, does it really matter your words? According to the Bible, it does. Does it really matter your tongue and the power? According to the Bible, it says death or life is in the power of the tongue. But here's why so many Christians don't get ahead and don't get anything out of church, because they think believing is enough. And believing is only one hinge on the door. The Bible says in James chapter 2, demons believe, and it's not enough. So it's not enough for me to go to church and set and expect to have change and transformation in my life. No wonder I'm not getting anything out of going to church. But when I begin to practice what I'm learning, when I begin to take what I'm hearing from God's word, put it in my mouth, start speaking it, now I've got the second hinge on the door, believing and confessing. And the door opens wide open, and I begin to walk into the abundant, blessed life. Because he said, the person who hears and has corresponding actions, you will be blessed. So keep on keeping on, no matter what your circumstances may look like tonight, they may completely contradict what God says you can have, but you keep believing and speaking God's word, and what you're saying will create, What you're saying will change. What you're saying will release God's power in your life. Come on, let's give the Lord a big praise. You with me, church? I believe you are. You're awesome tonight. Amen. So we see it in the context. Now, let's give some scriptures to back it up. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. The two hinges on the faith door is believing and confessing. If I want a miracle, just believing in them is not enough. Did you notice in the Bible, Jesus said to the blind man? I mean, it was obvious he was blind. Jesus said to the blind man. I mean, it was obvious because in Bible days, you know, they had to wear a certain kind of a robe. If they were blind, like blind Bartimaeus, they had to wear a robe. Remember when Jesus spoke to blind Bartimaeus, he threw his robe off? That was an act of faith because blind people wore a certain color and kind of robe. It's kind of like today when we see people who are blind or partially blind with a white cane. Okay, they had a certain color robe. All right? So it was obvious that the blind man was blind. It was obvious, but yet Jesus still asked him, "What do you want?" Had to speak it, make a confession. Okay? So here we see that if you will confess with your what? Mouth and believe in your where? Don't believe in your head. You believe in your spirit. Your heart is your spirit, not the organ, but your spirit. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, man, what? That's the first hinge. And with the mouth, confession is, that's the second hinge. So notice that we can't even get born again just by believing. We can't even get in the kingdom just by believing. That's what I meant by that demons believe and tremble. Notice they don't believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. Did you get that? In James chapter 2, it says, it's not enough to believe because demons believe and tremble, okay? And so notice they didn't believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. But notice you got to believe and then confess. That's how you get in the kingdom, and then that's how you access everything within the kingdom. You with me? Colossians chapter 2. Let me show you from the word. Colossians 2. Let's jump there. Verse 6. As you therefore got saved, how you received Christ, the way you received Christ. How do we do that? With the two hinges on the door, right? And those two hinges are believing and confessing. And the first corresponding action of a doer is speaking the word out of their mouth. Is speaking the word out of their mouth. That's the first act of faith. Next verse, verse 7. Let's go back to verse 6. I'm sorry. Verse 6. So as you got born again, so also that's how you walk. The same way you got saved, that's how you walk. How did you get saved? You believed in your spirit, your heart, and you confessed with your mouth. So when you walk with him and you want to access everything that he has is yours, your joint heirs, you do it the same way you got born again. How did you get born again? You had to believe it in your, and you had to say something with your, yeah. Isn't that awesome? So believing is not enough. If you need a miracle tonight, you need to be decreeing and declaring what God's word says about your miracle. You need to be decreeing and declaring what the word says about your health, your finances, your marriage, your calling, your spirit, your mind, your emotions, and that's how faith works. Amen? All right, so as you received him, so walk in him, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in him. Boy, we want to have deep roots, right? Deep roots and great fruit. Amen? We want to grow in him, right? Can I just share with you a really powerful golden nugget on how to grow in God and what it takes to grow in God? Because I believe everybody here tonight, you're like me, you want to grow in God. I mean, your heart cry, my heart cry is the same. Is God, I want to grow in you. You heard Rachel talk about how she comes to Church on the Rock. She wants to grow. She wants to get closer in God. How do you grow in God? I mean, is it just going to church and serving on the dream team? Is it just paying my tithe and giving all? How do you grow in God? Pastor, break it down. Make it real simple. Thank you. I will. Real simple. You ready? Ready to write notes? The way you grow in God is two simple ways. The way we get closer to God, the way we grow in God, two simple things. Talking about getting rooted and grounded and established in Him. Number one, we grow in God through surrender. I can't grow in God until I surrender. Surrender my life, surrender my hobbies, surrender my family, surrender my health, surrender everything about me, time, talent, and treasure. You cannot grow in God without surrender. Now, doesn't that make sense now when you see some people get stuck and they don't go any farther in their Christian walk because they don't want to surrender their time? It's getting quiet in this Lutheran church. They don't want to surrender their finances. They don't want to surrender their family. They don't want to surrender the second job on Sunday. They don't want to surrender their hurt. They don't want to surrender their offenses. They got mad at that church. We'll try another church. Think about the principle now. You grow in God. This is worth Wednesday night. Because everybody wants to know how to grow. And we make it so hard, so mystical. I'm giving you 2 points on how to be rooted and grounded and established in God. Is number one, it takes surrender. And every day of my life, God's asking for more. Pastor, you're always asking for more from us. More money, more time, more work, more service. I'm just like God. Because God's always asking for more of me. I die daily, Paul said, right? The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What's he saying? Daily I surrender more. You grow in God, number one, through surrender. And the people that I've seen growing up that stopped growing as Christians, as they got older, they got bitter and dried up, are those who stopped growing, is they stopped surrendering. They don't want to give any more time, any more money, any more of their gifts, their talents, their treasure, the rooms of their life, areas of their life, secret sins, habits, hang-ups, hold-ups, offenses, got hurt, a previous marriage, an experience, an event, what a Christian did. They won't surrender it, and so they're stuck. They go from church to church, marriage to marriage, job to job, state to state, and they don't grow. Why? Because they didn't surrender that issue, that hurt, that pain. So number one, how you and I grow in God the rest of our life is through surrender. And number two, just 2 points, because we're talking about being rooted and grounded, established in Him, as you've been taught. Number two is through obedience. Obedience. Oh my goodness. Isn't that what we call being a doer of God's word? And the first sign that I'm a doer is my confession, the words that are coming out of my mouth. The words that come out of my mouth, if they're negative, I'm in doubt and unbelief. If they're positive, I'm in faith. How simple is that? Faith always responds positive. Faith always responds positive. Paul, New Testament, shipwreck. He says, nevertheless, none of these things move me. Faith always responds positive. Anytime I respond negative, I'm not in faith. It's the Bible. So notice that you and I, we grow in God, not by going to church, but by surrender and obedience in going to church. Daily surrender and daily obeying what He's asking us to do. And those two ways are the simple ways that Christians grow until they die and go to heaven. Amen. Everybody say, surrender and obedience. So what is He asking us to do? Surrender our tongue. And what we feel like saying, and obey Him, and put His word in our mouth, and say what He says about us. Amen, somebody. Surrender our time. See, that's why some people get caught up, you know, with a baptism of the Holy Spirit and the initial evidence. It's not the main evidence. It's not the only evidence. But the initial evidence is a prayer language, okay? Why would that be that? Why couldn't the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit, why couldn't it be me writing something or painting something or putting something together? Or why do you think the first initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit, it's not the only, it's just the beginning, it's the initial. And when we say initial, why do you think it's speaking in tongues? Because God wants us to surrender our tongue to Him. Because the tongue is the most powerful part of your body. That's why He wants you to speak in tongues. Because when you get filled with the Spirit, and the first initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit is praying in a language you don't know. It's another language of man or a language of an angel that we don't know. And what we're saying is, God, I surrender my tongue, the most unruly member of my body. And I want you to help me tame it, and I need the Holy Spirit. And I'll have to work on it every day of my life. Can I have a witness? Does that make sense to everybody now? I mean, how simple is that? I don't believe in that tongue stuff. What's the big deal? Because God says, you got to surrender to me, and then you got to obey me to grow. And the first time I'm going to ask you to surrender is that tongue. That tongue. Because it's the most powerful and most unruly, and no man can tame it. That's all in the book of James, chapter 3. Y'all with me, family? So everyone say, surrender and obey. Now, when I stop doing that, my marriage stops growing. I stop growing as a man or as a woman or as a single mom or as a single dad or a teenager or a college student or senior citizen. When I stop surrendering and when I stop giving God more and I stop obeying, I stop growing. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Took me a lot of years to find that out. All right, so rooted and built up in Him, established in faith as you've been taught, abounding. Everybody say abounding. How do you abound? With thanksgiving. So the same way you got saved, the same way you received Christ is the same way you receive your healing, your eyesight, your hearing, cancer goes, the same way you get restoration, increase, favor, blessing is the same way. And how is that? The two hinges, believing and confessing God's word. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 7, would you? Matthew 7. And I'm going to conclude with this on being a doer of the word and doing the work. But look at Matthew 7, verse 24. Kim and I, about 36 years ago, were sitting in a park. We felt God calling us to St. Louis to start a non-denominational, multi-generational, multicultural church. We were still in our denomination, but we were praying about coming here. And 36 years ago, we're in a park, and I said, we were talking about, what's going to be the name of this church? What should be the name of this church? And we're sitting there in this park, and Daniel's a little guy over there, 3 or 4 years old, and he's playing in the playground. And we're sitting there on this picnic table, and we named out some names, and we're looking through the Bible, and we're praying because we wanted the name of the church we were going to plant to reveal the mission of the church, the vision of the church, the purpose of the church. So we were just praying, you know, and all of a sudden, seriously, you got to be careful with this, but my Bible just fell open to Matthew 7. Now y'all want to be careful with that, you know. You don't want to say, God, speak to me, and just wherever the Bible flies open, you know, Judas went and hanged himself. No, you don't want to go do that. You know. But it fell open to Matthew 7. I started reading. I said, oh, Kim, here it is. This is the name of our church. She said, what? I said, Church on the Rock. She, why? I said, because we want to produce, this is 36 years ago, doers of the word of God. Now, look what it says in Matthew 7, verse 24. Two kinds of people, one's foolish, one's wise. I'm looking at wise people tonight. We only have wise people at our church, okay? Because this is the anointing on our church. This is the anointing on our church. This is the foundational scripture. This is what I talk about in Growth Track 101. Matthew 7. Two kinds of people, one foolish, one wise. And one heard the word, didn't do it. They're called foolish. Didn't get anything out of church. One called wise, heard the word, and acted on it. Yeah? So look what he says. Therefore, as the team comes out, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, that would be the Bible. Everyone would say, hearing and what? And doeth them. So here we have the two hinges on the faith door that opens up to the supernatural with God. Hearing, doing. Believing, confessing. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken them unto a wise person who built their house on what? Church on the rock. Next verse. And the storms came and beat against that house, and it fell not because it was founded upon a solid foundation. What's the solid foundation to build your life upon? Hearing and doing the word of God. I want you to see something. Storms will come. They're inevitable. They will come. Not maybe, but they will come. We all can attest to that fact, can't we? Storms come to foolish people and storms come to wise people. Well, why do some are able to stand in the storm? Why are some stable in the storm? Why are some unshakable in the storm? Evidently because they're a hearer and a doer of God's word. And what is that? They're standing because they're speaking the word of God. How do you stand on the word of God? How do you stand on the word of God? You stand on the word of God by speaking the word of God. You overcome the storm. You get through the storm. You stay strong in the storm. You are unshakable in the storm if you're a hearer and a doer of the word of God. So evidently, the wise person learns how to manage their tongue with the help of the Holy Spirit and doesn't speak what they feel like. They surrender their feelings. They surrender what they'd like to say, obey God's word, and speak God's word in the storm, and they're unshakable. Come on, somebody. They're strong in the storm. They're stable in the storm. They're unshakable in the storm. And guess what? They don't blame God in the storm. Amen. The second kind of person, we don't have any of those here. They're a foolish person. And that's those who come to church and don't get anything out of it. They come and they hear it. They know it, but they don't do it. So what are they doing in the storm? They're not speaking God's word. They're not speaking scriptures. They're not confessing the word. What are they doing? Speaking how they feel. Speaking what they're experiencing. So what's going to happen? The storm will overtake them. The storm will defeat them. The storm will overwhelm them. The storm will steal their victory. But a church on the rock, say it with me, I am a doer of God's word. I stand on God's word. I speak God's word. I create things, change things, and able to stand during anything. Give the Lord praise, would you? Come on, let's thank you for the word.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.